Hish, the realm of light. In Hish, shining truths can be plucked from the air for those with wisdom to glean them. Before the Spirefall, it was a place of refinement and high civilization. Tragically, its glory has long faded. For since the obsessions of its people laid it open to Slaanesh's cruel wiles, it has become a place of shattered statuary and broken dreams. Hish is a realm brightly lit, with elegance in its every aspect. It is a place of learning and symbolism, where symmetry and grace is found in abundance. It is never truly dark there, cycling instead through a warm glow to a searing, dazzling light, depending on the relative ascendance of Hish and Olgu. At its heart, areas of lush green grass, tilled wheat, and smooth stone can be found resurgent amongst the cratered, magic-ravaged wilds and shattered spires of elder times. Towards the realm's edge, Hish breaks down into an abstract, blinding vista of whitish energy, a confusion of linear planes and glassy islands that give way to half-glimpsed shapes and geomantic formulae half seen in the glowing air. The land of Hish is divided into subdomains known as the Ten Paradises. They are arrayed as a great wheel, the symbol of Hish itself writ large, with 8 segments surrounding the hub, Zientil, and surrounded in their turn by the rim, Hai Zai. In Zientil, Sigmarite humans coexist with elves in something approaching harmony. This is born more from their common enemy than from any real bonds of love. Most Hishian elves find even Azurite humans to be somewhat thuggish and barbaric. In return, humans find elves to be unsettling and aloof, their mere presence a reminder that Hish favors the intelligent and arcane far more than the strong, earthly children of the soil. Even the solutions they choose to heal or reclaim Hish's wilds are often at odds with one another. Where humans prefer to solve their problems with industry, hard slog, and long campaigns of warfare, elves prefer to use fearsome displays of magic that scour the lands. The elves of Hish will burn giant runes of salvation into places that their human neighbors have given entire generations to conquer, claiming any collateral damage as well within the bounds of acceptable losses. When the dark powers threaten their alliance, however, the two races fight side by side with a devastating efficacy. The shining crusades of Settlers' Gain, whose humble name belies its capital status, are famously effective. They have penetrated deep into the wilderness on a dozen different headings, seizing those sites most valuable to the sanctity of the lands and building settlements, then hamlets, then thriving towns, in the microcosmic likeness of their parent city. Several of these have fallen to Auric raiders or chaos-worshipping barbarians. For the eyes of the Lumineth cannot be everywhere at once, especially with their recent Shaiishian campaign against Nagash, bleeding back into a mountain-shattering confrontation in Eumetrica. Yet, Ish is being pulled back from the brink. Through the scars of the Okari Dara are still writ large across it. The realm itself is fighting back, taking the form of elementor spirits to fight alongside Lumineth and human alike. As Teclis had foreseen, a new era of hope is being forged amongst the ruins of a fallen empire. Illuminated conflict. Hish is the domain of the Lumineth Realm Lords, who have communed with its geomantic spirits in the search for enlightenment. Here can be found the great nation of Eumetrica, a center of Lumineth power that is also host to a grand experiment in the uplifting of the human race. Eumetrica is one of the most prestigious of the great nations of Hish, and the largest continent in the part of the realm known as the Eumetrican Geosegment. This region consists of several smaller island nations, bordering the gigantic landmass of Eumetrica itself. A vast and temperate expanse of land, marked by sweeping plains and soaring mountains. Many of these reach so high, one cannot even glimpse their snow-capped peaks. Greatest of them all is Mount Avalonor, which pierces the firmament like a titanic spear. These mountains are centers of spiritual learning, for to reach their upper peaks and gaze down upon the vastness of the land is to understand and accept one's place in the cosmos. Amongst all Eumetrica's wonders, there are hints of a tragic past. The spines of fallen towers, strewn forlornly across the landscape, and now home to nothing but silence. Eumetrica, like all the great nations, suffered terribly during the insanity of the Spirefall, a tragic collapse of the first Lumineth civilization. Yet, amidst the detritus of the past can be found the hope of the future. Broken spire cities that still offer shelter against chaos invaders, and gleaming elementary temples where the Lumineth learn to join their minds with the geomantic spirits of Hish. Shining seas separate Eumetrica from its neighbors, such as the great nation of Zytrek, home to the foremost magic users of the Lumineth, and matriarchal Ilathia, where magical simulacra live and fight side by side. Towards the realm's edge, beyond a sea of liquid luminescence, lies Izaya, where not even the Lumineth can live. For the light there burns bright enough to melt the eyes. Hish may appear at first glance to be a pristine realm, but the corruption of chaos thrives here just as it does in any other realm. The legacy of the Akari Dara casts a long shadow, And in that darkness lurks all manner of horrors. Slaanesh-worshipping reavers, in particular, are drawn to Yametrica and the other great nations. For in its wind-blown wilds, they can taste the musk of their lost deity. The Dark Prince is ever the most terrible nemesis of the elf kind, and during the Spirefall, his demons delighted in casting down the proud civilizations of Hish in an orgy of destruction and debauchery. The Greenskins have never entirely been cleansed from the lands, and ransacking hordes of iron jaws and cruel boys are a constant menace. These threats must be contained, even as the Lumineth Realm Lords march forth into distant realms, taming the lands with magic and might. A defensive compact with the human worshippers of the God King, then, was as obvious a tactic as it was mutually beneficial. Yet the Lumineth's decision to allow Azurite colonists to pour through realm gates into their domain was not entirely altruistic. Near the center of Hish can be found the great nation of Zeen Til, where Sigmar-worshipping humans have settled with Teclis and Tyrion's permission. It is famous for its deserts of fine white sand that stretch from the very center of the continent to the shores of the Girdle Sea, a narrow, circular body of water that separates Zeen Til from the other great nations of Hish. Elven ingenuity has watered these arid regions with complex irrigation systems powered by solar stones, in order to render it more hospitable for those humans that arrive through the Arch of Men with increasing regularity. The inherent magic of the Hishian realm is duller in Zeen Til, and it is home to fewer geomantic spirits, for these primordial beings prefer the sustenance of the realm's edge. In other words, it is well suited to humanity, who, as far as the Lumineth are concerned, would only sully the more pristine regions of Hish with their crudeness and greed. Few humans are allowed to visit the other great nations and look upon their glory, but in other aspects they are treated as honored allies, their settlements raised according to the expert advice of elven architects, and subsequently granted writs of trade with their Lumineth neighbors. Zeen Til is light on raw resources such as Hishian marble and flexwood, and the Lumineth of Zy-Trek and Alathia gladly offer surpluses of such materials in exchange for the humans' continued defense of their inner borders. For their part, the colonists of Zeen Til, seeking to ape the Lumineth in their eternal quest for spiritual harmony, seek less enlightened souls from distant lands to act as laborers and warriors in their armies, while they go about more important business of self-perfection. In exchange for their sponsorship, the Lumineth occupy positions of high authority in settlers' gain. The preeminent human settlement in Hish, and a vision of the future that the Lumineth envisage for their allies with the guidance of the Lumineth, it is hoped that humans can learn to reach beyond their meager intellect and simple passions in order to become something greater. Never will they achieve the mastery of body and mind inherent to the Realm Lords, of course. But they can surely be trained to be more incisive tools in the fight against chaos. By decree of Tyrion and Teclis, no great crusade may be launched in their domain by the forces of Sigmar without their leave. Indeed, to many it seems that is the Lumineth and not the God King who command the armies of Settlers Gain and the other Hishian free cities. Crusades are directed by Free Guild generals and Stormcast lords in concert with the Lumineth, and are most commonly launched along the harsh Xintilian coast, in lands long considered surplus to the Realm Lord's requirements, and thus home to many bestial foes and worshippers of chaos. In the brief time since the accordance between Sigmar and the Elf Gods was reconvened, crusades have cleared lands for new settlements, though each push into the wastes has cost a grievous toll in lives. The humans' societal overlords stand ready to defend their ward cities, of course, but in most matters, the Lumineth are content to simply stand watch from afar, observing how their mentees approach each fresh crisis and stepping in when necessary. Hishian crusades are led by generals and mages all too aware that a single failure on the field of battle could see them demoted to the lowest strata, or even banished from Xiantil on a pilgrimage of re-education that might last many decades. The more cynically minded might look at the location of the God King's settlements on the dangerous borders of Xiantil and see them as the perfect bulwark to shield the more prosperous elven nations against the rampages of raiding foes. Yet, the common folk of these cities will hear no such conspiracies, and point to the resources lavished upon them by the Lumineth, and the many times that the Realm Lords have marched alongside the city's armies. Hishian crusades typically follow familiar elven techniques more than established Sigmarite doctrine. Ranked formations of spearmen act as an impenetrable wall upon which to break the enemy, while highly skilled archers and battle mages pick off enemy commanders and break up attacks. Luminarchs of Hish and other arcane engines punch holes in the foe's lines, creating openings for swift-moving cavalry or elite regiments to exploit. It is an ages-old method of making war, and one flexible enough to counter almost any opposition. Even the notoriously demanding Lumineth of Ymetrica were impressed by the valiant performance of Settlers Gain's armies when Nagash's deathly hosts invaded Xiantil. Indeed, it was a battery of Luminarchs from the city that tipped the balance in the final cataclysmic arcane duel between Teclis and Nagash atop Mount Avalonor. A vindication of the Illuminator's patient investment in mankind, and proof that no matter their crude nature, humans were worthy of the magical secrets granted unto them. Settlers gain the enlightened city. Many of the free peoples sacrifice everything to be allowed residence in Settlers Gain. The greatest Sigmarite settlement in Hish. It is a city of unblemished wonder and innovation. A utopia of glittering crystal that demands much of those fortunate enough to dwell within its walls. Settlers Gain is quite unlike most other free cities. With echo constantly to the cacophony of industry and commerce. Here, the skies are unpolluted, and the clean air rings to the sound of melodic singing and lively debate. Elegant spires reach towards the heavens, where crystalline structures hover and rotate. Beneath this majestic skyline, tidy and unprepossessing districts stretch out like the spokes of a great wheel. In Settlers Gain, everything, even the humblest peasant's abode, is symmetrical and perfectly ordered, according to the Zentil Logica, a treatise upon the refinement of mind and spirit through symbiosis with one's environment. Written by elves with the intention of simplifying these lofty concepts so they can be more easily absorbed by humans. It was the Lumineth that allowed Settlers Gain to be constructed within the borders of Zentil. It is they, as much or more so than the Conclave or the Stormcast Eternals of the Tempest Lords, that decide upon its matters of governance. Who truly rules the city has always been a source of tension. Most starkly exemplified by the bitter arguments over its name. Most humans favor the prosaic one chosen by their ancestors, while the Lumineth insist on calling it Ilorai Zen in their own tongue, and chastising their wards for failing to pronounce the name correctly. The majority of humans are confined to the simple districts, a name that the elves insist merely refers to the manner of the neighborhood's construction. The non-elven populace toil not in factories and workshops. Such base requirements are provided by solar-powered automata of Lumineth design, but in the pursuit of knowledge. They seek mental and spiritual skills that will allow them to ascend to the upper levels of Settlers Gain. To do so requires a series of examinations overseen by hard-eyed elven invigilators. The final test for any aspirant is to ascend to the highest spires of Settlers Gain. Such a task is easier imagined than achieved. There is no stair to climb, no gear-driven lift such as might be present in more utilitarian free cities. Instead, the distance must be covered using arcane methods, one might attempt to master the art of levitation. Use sorcery to turn their limbs to those of an alien beast, or perhaps join their mind with that of an opterid, one of the insectoid creatures that traveled the high thermals. Many are killed in the process, for the treacherous zephyrs of the upper levels seem to have a life of their own. Those who complete the journey are welcomed not quite as equals by their elven luminaries, but as promising students to be inducted into the next level of enlightenment. Lumineth call these few select mortals the Uplifted, and reward them with yet more challenges. In fact, it soon becomes clear that there will be no end to the tests, for even if a human were to live for decades beyond their allotted span, they would never approach the perfection desired by the Lumineth. Those who protest, or who fail the elves' increasingly exacting demands, are sent on so-called spiritual excursions. The Lumineth portray these excursions as opportunities to bring the lessons of settlers' gain to the wider realms, though the assignments cannot be refused. Depending upon the nature of the individual in question, an excursion may take many different forms. Many involve secondment to the military, joining the Great Crusades to found new cities in the image of settlers' gain. But others are diplomatic in nature, visiting other free cities to advise upon political matters, for example. Success grants the possibility of resuming one's education with the Invigilator's permission. For most, advancement remains nothing but a dream. This causes great resentment amongst the city's lower classes, the Earthbound, those who lack sufficient facility with arcane and spiritual matters to advance beyond their station. On three occasions, this simmering anger has threatened to boil over into riots. The ringleaders of each remonstration were quickly removed and placed in confinement within the floating enlightenment prisms that hang over the city. Exactly what occurs within these crystalline structures remains unknown to all but the Lumineth and their acolytes. But the majority of those so imprisoned are eventually released, having seemingly abandoned all notions of rebellion. Many turn to preaching at those they once stirred into action, urging them to reconsider their ignorant ways. The armies of settlers' gain are small yet elite, comprised in the main of volunteers who hope to impress the city's invigilators through exemplary military service. The city's free guilds operate upon a strictly meritocratic hierarchy, with commanders and officers all selected by dictate from on high. These detachments are accompanied by the most advanced magical war machines available to Sigmar's empire. most notably the Luminarchs, which can unleash lances of energy potent enough to sear through several meters of metal. Their terrifying barrages are overseen by the city's battle mages, who hail from the ranks of the Uplifted and are privy to many secrets granted to them by the Lumineth. Azir, the realm of heavens. Azir is the shining jewel at the heart of the God King's empire, and the location of his great palace city of Sigmaron. A refuge of culture and reason since the momentous battle of burning skies, it has been turned over to the prosecution of Sigmar's realm-spanning wars. The scintillating reaches of Azir shine the light of 1,000 stars. These are not true suns, distant as they are, but the glimmer of concentrated celestium crystals or remote geomantic phenomena. Together, these form strange, magically potent constellations by which the people of Sigmar's nations guide their prophecies and predictions. They are visible, too, in the other realms as a cosmic swirl. Through the skein of stars hurtle countless meteors and comets. Some crash down to the grand Azurite disk below, whilst others are chased by wild Torlons or star drakes that wing through the Azurite vault. Legend has it that when Sigmar was introduced to the glory of Azir by Dracotheon, the God King soon won the allegiance those people scattered there. The foundation stones of famous Azirheim were laid where Sigmar initially arrived in the realm, a wide valley encircled by mountains. The metropolis's grandeur became such that it made the capital cities of the world that was look humble. The most glorious of all Azir's miracles, however, is the Sigmarabullum, a gilded wonder was set in the heavens through Grungni's artifice, Lord Tyrion's mastery of the metaphysical arts, and Dracotheon's power over the heavens. Great ring built around the broken world, so vast that it could house the population of Azirheim 3 times over. There was founded the Vault Celestial, home of the Pantheon in times of crisis. There too shone the star Sigandil, all the brighter, its light illuminating the dark moon of Daroth below. During the Age of Chaos, the forges of the 6 smiths were created in the Grand Palace, Sigmaron, within which is the fabled anvil of apotheosis. Since it was set in the stars, the Sigmarabullum has rung to the hammers of a legion of warsmiths. Today, as the new crusades march out, bolstered by fresh Azurite steel, that clamor is loudest of all. The people of Azir settled the lands long ago in Sigmar's name. After the Battle of Burning Skies and the Nexus Wars, their congregations were bolstered by the massive exodus that occurred before the sealing of the gates of Azir. These fortunate newcomers enjoyed a nirvana for a while. Azir became a great cauldron of civilization. Some were new, some were able to trace their origins to the oldest of humanity's great nations. There, hundreds of cultures and tribes coexisted, united by their hatred of chaos and their dreams of one day reclaiming their lost lands. Though some of these displaced peoples had been driven from their homelands, and others cast adrift on the tides of time, every one dreamed of taking their revenge upon the forces of chaos. Unfortunately, within their ranks, they brought the harrowing shadow of that which they had fought so hard. Hidden as it was, and their newfound privilege brought forth dark feelings in those who believed Azir settled for good. When Sigmar saw that the seat of his godhood had been tainted, his wrath was great indeed. He smote all those in Azirheim who held hatred in their hearts, burning out the black shadow of chaos once and for all. Or such was his intent. Over the course of the Age of Chaos, the war cells of Sigmar Bellum were steadily filled by the Red Forged. For here it was that the God King created his new army. The Gladiatorium, that grand gift of illusion given to Sigmar by Melarion, so his warriors could fight to the death and yet rise once more at the end of the day's battle, resounded to the sound of Stormcast Eternals, perfecting their tactics and strategies. The monsters that predated upon Azir's white-capped mountain ranges, long hunted by the God King himself, and even Gorka Morka, were driven to the brink of extinction by the Stormcast Eternals that went forth to train in the arts of battle. When Sigmar's new armies returned to reclaim the domains of man, elf, and Dwarden, they opened the door for Azir's finest to join the fight. And where they found victory, raised cities in Azirheim's image across the realms. So it is that echoes of the architecture, culture, and sensibilities of Azir can be found in all the settlements of Sigmar's faithful, from the smallest outpost still under construction to the storm-reft prefecture of Hammerhall Aksha. Though Sigmar originally hailed from a barbarian tribe who fought, loved, and lived as they pleased, with uncounted billions of souls looking to him for salvation, he had little choice but to adopt the tactics of stringent law. In the aftermath of the Purge of Azir, Sigmar put in place of a body of governance that would oversee the sanctity of his cities. The first council he commissioned was known as the Lords of Heavenhall. 256 elected magnates who made sure the God King's will was interpreted and carried out in every aspect of metropolitan life. This same conclave is echoed in some form in every major city across the realms. And though their reach does not extend to every frontier, for the most part, the tenets of the Sigmarite faith remain true. Similarly, the Azurite tongue is spoken as a common language alongside the native languages of each realm and region. Almost all the lands under Sigmar's rule use some version of the Azurite calendar. Each day has between 26 and 30 hours, that being the frequency by which Hish and Olgu eclipse one another. And the days are grouped into a week comprising Comet's Day, Moon Day, Zenithus, Sun Wane, Stars Day, Rising Day, and Void's Day. The last day of each month is called Sigmar's Day, in reverence to the day that Sigmar's tempest broke, and is a festival day in the more affluent cities. All realms, save Giron, have either 4 or 6 seasons, divided into 12 months. Coldbane, Shiverblight, Hope's Renewal, Rain Stay, High Sprite, Azir's Gleaming, Meadow Swell, Golden Harvests, Thresh, Wind Skull, Darkening, and Even's Winter. This ancient order of time is known to bards as the Dance of the Spheres. Some say it was set in motion by an elder race predating even Dracothion and Kragnos. Others, that the realm spheres obey some other form of cosmic law that Sigmar alone can comprehend.